This is the fourth session.
Fourth session?
Oh, I thought we were five.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Oh, all right. Yeah, four. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, got it.
And this is time management is really, really life management. And I'm not going to go a whole lot through the book because you guys have done some of this, but I'm going to give you a little more of my experience in the time management, how to do this, and you know, when it comes right down to it, I mean, I've got clients that I've worked with for 4 or 5 years. I've got clients that have been with me for 1 and 2 years. Bottom line is I'm always coming back to time management. This is not something that, from my perspective, this is not something that you can, is a process. It's not a destination. Okay, so from a time management standpoint, your life is going to change all the time. You know, when we create a time blocking tool, it's a template for our week. But when I look at time blocking on just an annual basis, I know that my time blocking is going to change. There's going to shift to some degree, 6, 7, 8 times a year. Now, Mary has young children. Is that correct?
Yes, correct. Sorry, my other line's ringing. okay, yes, that is correct.
You have young children, and so you already know some of the challenges that you deal with. But even without young children, we all face different, you know, from there are seasons. You know, you go from winter to summer, and the differences are pretty distinct. You know, it gets dark at 4:30 in the winter, and it stays light until 9 o'clock unless you're in Alaska. And so I've got 3 or 4 hours more that I can work with should I want to do that. I've got the summer. I've got kids being out of school. I've got, you know, vacations and things to work around. I've got the holidays and you know, the last 2 months of the year. I've got, you know, the spring months are going to be different from. So there's a slight shift. And I don't want to make it sound like this, like you can't do this, because it's not like throwing out the whole time block. But you got to start in the right place, okay? I've had people who were divorced and had you know, their kids every other week, and you know they basically had to create two different time blocks, two different templates, because 1 week was so dramatically different than the other week, and so it isn't. There are definitely going to be excuses, and I don't want you to feel like, you know, dealing with life is a challenge, okay? So, and when you're in a business like this, the challenges are huge, because those challenges, if I was to ask you, what do you think the biggest distraction of your day is? And without saying your kids, what would be the next thing?
Well, husband or family or.
Okay.
Or I would go so far that sometimes when you get a listing and it goes under contract, that can throw your whole schedule off too. Or a buyer for that.
What I was really looking for in that question was the phone. Incoming calls are a huge distraction, okay? Of course, what are we trying to do? We're trying to get the phone to ring, okay? You know, we want to get referral business and so on and so forth. But one of the things that we say to ourselves is that, you know, I'm going to take all my calls. I'm a 24/7 agent or... You know, I'm going to try and be, you know, we determine our success by our access. Does that sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
And our success is not determined by our access. Our success is determined by, you know, our knowledge, our skill, our communication, our ability to communicate, And so when it comes right down to it, in this marketplace, there's huge value for a realtor who knows what they're doing. Would you agree, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. You know, 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, the bulk of the conversations were about commission cutting and discounting. You know, today, in this marketplace, there's still some of that out there. But for the most part, if you're a knowledgeable agent, you know, you can get top dollar. Does that make sense? So the difference is the market, you know. So I've got to have, you know, if I've got the education, people will wait for me. I have a script out there, a script that people don't normally jump on it right away, but it goes something like this. To better serve my present and future clients, I will be returning all calls between 4 and 5 and 12 and 1 or whatever, Monday through Friday. Please leave your name, a number, and a brief message so that I can be prepared to call you back. Look forward to talking to you soon. Have a great day. Rather than actually taking those calls, because every call that comes in is a distraction. You following that?
Mm-hmm.
You may not agree with it. Tell me what you think of that statement, Linda.
I mean, I think it's a good statement, you know. I'm just not busy enough to use it right now.
Okay. Mary?
You know.
I like it. I've done it before, and I find that people get really irritated by it. That's what I found. And, again, that was... Oh,
who gets irritated?
Well, it was about 2 years ago when I did it, and I would find that my lender would get really irritated with me about it, like, because he would need to get a hold of me. And I don't work with him anymore, just so you know. But he would get irritated, or I had one customer that he hated it and was like, you know, no way, that's not, you need to be available for me when I need you. Yeah, so I got some flack from it.
Okay. Okay. You know, frankly, again, you know, I can quantify all of this in my listing presentation. This is the best way to get a hold of me. I don't, you know, I'm busy working at trying to market and sell your home, so I don't take a lot of calls during the day. But I return all my calls between 11 and 12 and 4 and 5. You know, and mm-hmm. because you're special, I'm going to give you my cell phone, but I can't guarantee you that you're going to get me any sooner. And so once I quantify the expectation on their end, they go, okay, look, they told me this is the way it's going to be. Now, if you don't like that, you want somebody who isn't doing anything 24/7 and can respond to you immediately, then you need to find another realtor. You see what I, in other words, and your loan person who didn't like it needs to get over it, you know. Well, you got over it by getting rid of him.
The business got rid of him.
The business got rid of him?
Yeah, the market.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess, you know, it isn't, I'm not talking about being arrogant or prideful. I'm talking about, you know, controlling your business. If you can control your time, you can control your income. If you can control your income, you can control your outcome. And it really is about control. We're not trying to control people. We're trying to control situations, you know, as much as we possibly can, because that gives us more, you know, it gives us more professionalism. It gives us more confidence, more competence. And so we do that by taking charge of our schedule. And I'm not saying you have to go use that script or that script at all right now. I know that people either like it or they hate it. But the idea, what I'm sharing with you, is that distraction distraction, if I can limit the number of distractions, because if you think about it from this perspective, if I stop and take a phone call, and that phone call lasts 5 minutes, how much time do you really think you lost in that process if you were working on a project? You're inputting and listening. How much time do you really think you lost? Was it the 5 minutes on the phone? Or was it more like 20 or 30 minutes?
That's
because you're distracted.
Well, you've got to consider the time that you have to get back into the project, get reacquainted with where you left off, and then there also may be a follow-up you have to do to that phone call, maybe a five-minute phone call, but now maybe you have to be involved in something else, make a notation of the phone call, call somebody else. So it could be a lot longer than 5 minutes.
Right.
And I'm here. I've been here for a while.
It's always longer. When I look at a phone call, even if I'm on the phone for 5 minutes, you know, to me it's a 20-minute. It costs me 20 minutes minimum, probably more like 30, just because it pulled me off a task. And so there is some validity to this. And if you're not real busy right now, the temptation is, okay, look, I don't really need this. But keep it, put it back in the back of your mind so that, as you do get busier, you say, okay, this is an area that I really do need to grab control of. Now, is some of you were tracking your day by the half hour, and as we move into this particular section, you can see the value in the results of tracking your day by the half hour. In other words, you look at your tracking your day by the half hour, and you can see, hey, look, I didn't have a lot of DIPA time. I had more PSA time and more WOT time, waste of time things. And so, in essence, I'm not making as much money as I should be making in this business. So when you look at this time blocking thing, and I want you to take some notes as I go through this, because I'm just going to give you some ideas with regards to how I approach time blocking. One, it is a process. Two, that process starts like this. I create a skeleton for my week. Okay? Because there's three of you on here, I can't go through individually and tell you how to do this. But one of the things I say is, first of all, first thing you want to do is you want to write down anything in your day or in your week that you have already committed that's repetitious. I mean, it's ongoing. It's every Thursday I have a sales meeting from 10 to 12. Every Tuesday I do, tour that runs, 10 to 12 or 1 to 2 or whatever the time is. My kids are in school. I pick up my kids, at 11:30 every day. Anything that is reoccurring, I want to already plug it in to that weekly time block that you've got in the back of this section. Okay? You with me? Same thing for evenings. If you've got soccer practice on Tuesday and Thursday, or you go to church on Wednesday or whatever, you want to put in whatever is committed to consistently. Okay? Everybody understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Any questions on that?
No.
Okay. Next thing is I want to take a look at this from a Monday through Friday aspect first. Okay? I want to look at my Monday through Friday and what time do I get up every morning. Now, if you get up at 7:30 one day and 6:15 the next day and 6:45 the next day, bottom line is that the most consistent is going to have to be like 7 o'clock or 7:30. Okay, what do you want to get up, and what are you willing to commit to? Okay, so I've got the time that I actually get up. Now, when I say get up, I don't mean just wake up. I mean actually get up. Okay? Not playing, the snooze alarm? And then from there, you know, most people have some degree of a morning routine. Okay, so let's just say you get up at 7 o'clock. You get up at 7 o'clock, and my morning routine goes something like this. I get up in the morning, I work out for an hour and a half, and then I come back and eat a little breakfast, do a little devotional, and take a shower and go to work. Okay, so maybe that's what your morning is like, or something like that. Or, you know, if you've got kids, small kids, and it's, you know, I get them dressed, or I have quiet time for myself, and then I get them up and get them dressed. You know you have a morning routine. And however long that morning routine takes, you need to identify that. In other words, so if I'm up at 7, I got a bold line at 7 that says, wake up. If I'm up, you know, if my morning routine takes me 2 hours, then from 7 to 9, my morning routine is going to be plugged in Monday through Thursday, or Monday through Friday, which leaves me with, okay, now I've got 9 o'clock. I've got 9 o'clock, and so my day really starts. My business day really starts at 9 o'clock, based on that story. Now, take a look at a couple of things here. One is, how many of you have an actual day off or 2 days off a week scheduled, and you know that's what they are?
I don't.
None of you?
I try to take Sundays, but a lot of times that, you know.
Okay, you try to take one. Now, is that Linda?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mary?
I try and take, usually it's Sundays, and most Mondays are just I work from home, so it's a stay-at-home paperwork day. It's my admin day, basically.
Okay. So for you, for Mary, it is, okay, Sunday is Mary Day, or Sunday is my day off, whatever, however you want to call it. It's my day, okay? And for Mary at this particular point, and part of this might be because of the kids and so on and so forth, Monday is your admin day. Okay, well, you can decide whether you need all Monday for your admin day as we go through this process. But for right now, that's what you do, okay? So now I don't have Monday to work with, okay, if that's the way Monday is set up. Okay? So now I've got, so you've got Tuesday through Friday, or you, well, rather than just use Mary, Richard, what day do you take off?
Yeah, I'm approximately on the same page as the two ladies. I try to take off Sunday, Don, but you know, usually I do, but a lot of times I don't. Saturdays, it's like 50-50. Sometimes I work, sometimes I don't, but Monday through Friday, I'm basically always doing something, mostly, I guess, non-productive work.
Okay.
To be honest.
Great. Okay. So for all of you at this point, you know, this makes it simple. For all of you, you've got Sunday as your day. So you just put your name in there, and completely block that day out, Sunday out. Okay. Does that mean you'll never do any work on Sunday? Probably not, but for the most part, that's your goal, okay? Then you've got now, and if you're going to work, so let's go back Monday through Thursday. Out of Monday through Thursday, two evenings. If I was going to do two evenings, I'm going to make them up myself since there's three of you on here. Let's just say on Tuesday and Thursday, I'm willing to work until 8 o'clock at night, okay? So I'm going to put a bold line at 8 o'clock and on Tuesday and Thursday. But on Monday and Wednesday, Monday I'd like to be home with my family for dinner at 5 o'clock, 5:30. Okay, so at 5 o'clock, I put a bold line and I'm out of there by 5 o'clock. Same thing with Wednesday. Maybe I'm going to church on Wednesday night. So I want to get out at 5, have dinner with my family. Okay, so now I've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I know I pretty much got the skeleton of my week. You know, my day started at 7 o'clock. I had my morning routine. My day ended on Monday at 5 o'clock. My day ended on Tuesday at 8 o'clock. My day ended up on Wednesday, and so on and so forth, right? Does that make sense so far?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, my suggestion to you guys is this. Look, you're in a business where you're self-employed. I personally have almost always taken at least half a day on Friday off. And the reason, part of the reason is because there's really very little activity typically going on Friday. People are getting ready for the weekend. You know, I mean, I can be at work, but, you know, if I wanted to get an extra half a day off, that would be the day that I would choose. Now, it may not be the case for everybody, but I share that with everybody. You know, so realistically, you know, if my day starts after my morning routine on Friday at 9 o'clock, and I'm going to go till noon, then I'm going to put a bold line at 9 and a bold line at noon. Then I'm going to look at Saturday, and I'm going to say, okay, remember what we did on Monday, on Tuesday and Thursday? Tuesday and Thursday, we're willing to work till 8, okay? So I'm willing to work a little bit later on Tuesday and Thursday. But I also am willing to put in 2 appointment time slots on Saturday. Because for me, you know, if I've got stuff that's you know, ideally there are people who really struggle to get, you know, to fit into your schedule. Maybe they can't get off work until after 4 or 5, and that's where those 2 slots on Tuesday and Thursday come in handy, and maybe a couple 2-hour slots on Saturday. So say 10 to 2. 11 to 3, 12 to 4, whatever. Okay? Now we pretty much got we pretty much have the skeleton. We know when we start, when we end each day. We know which days are off, which days were taken off early. Okay? Now, now what we have left is what we have to work with. And we have to look at what do we have to get plugged in there. Now, just in conversation with Mary, Mary has a full day on Monday as her administration day. That may or may not be necessary, depending on once you start working this, you may not need that much time. Maybe it's something that you've always done. Maybe it translates into, well, I really only work a couple of hours on Monday, and that's really what you're saying. I'm not sure. I'm sure it depends on how busy you are and what's going on with your kids at that particular point. But now I've got to sit down and I've got to figure out, okay, I need to do these things. So write these things down. I need to have an hour of prospecting in 4 days a week, minimum. Okay, at least an hour, 4 days a week. I need to have probably close to an hour, like a half hour in the morning and a half hour in the afternoon, of true lead follow-up.
Don, can I ask a question really quick?
Uh-huh.
When you talk about, it's Mary, when you talk about an hour of prospecting, I listen to a lot of Dirk's CDs, and just so you know, I'm a high I.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do a lot of networking events, and I follow my sphere. Do networking events count as that 1 hour of prospecting time?
They count as prospecting time, but you know, here's the thing. You know, basically what you're telling me is you have some call reluctance. You don't really like the phone, huh? Is that
yeah, I absolutely, unless I know the people.
Okay. What I want you guys to do is I really do want you to get in a position where you're utilizing some scripts and dialogues and you're actually picking up the phone, you know, 30 minutes to an hour, you know, 4 days a week. The reason why I'm asking you to do this, because it does work. You know, even if I'm only calling my past clients and my sphere, you know, I can do that. You know, I can step out, I can branch into, you know, expires, or I can branch into geographic, you know, making some colder calls to my geographic farm. But I understand where you're coming from. And I don't want to discount any networking that you're doing, but this is a skill that you know, if you've heard Dirk over and over again, we're saying the same thing. We want you to learn how to prospect. We want you to actually do some of the prospecting. And even if I'm just calling my past clients in Sphere, and when I'm calling my past clients in Sphere, I don't just get on the phone and say, hey, how are you doing? How are the wife and kids? How's the dog? How's the house? I'm not asking a bunch of mundane questions that I really don't care about the answers to, and then all of a sudden go into, oh, by the way, let me, do you know anybody who's looking to buy, sell, or refinance? To me, that's really backdooring our people. And so, maybe a script that I would use would be something along the lines of, hi Mary, this is Don Cunningham with Real Estate Champions. Did I catch it a good time? Do you have 45 seconds? Okay. Typically, people will give you that 45 seconds if they know they don't have to call you back, in lieu of having to, anticipate another call. So, in other words, I gave a time frame for how long this call is going to go. It's not 20 minutes, 30 minutes. It's 45 seconds. 60 seconds, 55 seconds. Do you have 57 seconds? In other words, I've identified this as, it's in seconds, it's not in minutes. Great. First of all, let me just say to you, Mary, this is a business call, and so I want to give you some information about what's going on in the marketplace. It's actually my call is twofold. One, I want to give you some information in the marketplace. I just got off the phone with my lender, and while there's a lot of confusion in the marketplace right now, I wanted to let you know that interest rates today are the best they've been in 30 years. They really are. They're at 5 3/4 for a 30-year fix. That may or may not have any value to you, Mary, at this particular point, but that's the other part of my call. Do you know anybody who's looking to buy, sell, refinance? Maybe you've got a friend, relative, neighbor, or coworker, something like that. That is interested. I just want you to know that I'd love to work with people that I have a connection with. Would you give me a call if you think of anybody? My number would be R459. Okay? Go out and make it a great day. And that's really the whole focus of a script, something along those lines. So when I'm talking about prospecting, that's what I'm really talking about. It's talking about creating something from nothing. But you could see, I think you can see from that, just from the dialogue, even though that was kind of off, I don't have the script in front of me or anything, you could see that was very direct, it was to the point, it was considerate of you, of the recipient of the call, as far as their time, and all I was really doing is stirring the pot. And that was somebody that knew me. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mary.
No, I like it. I like it a lot, and I'm not afraid to. I'm not afraid to do things like that. Just so you know, I always hear about it. I always talk about it, and I guess that's probably where I need to work the most on is practicing the script, so I'm used to them and can follow through with them.
Well, and again, behaviorally, some of your challenges are you want to be just. We want to do it just right before you actually do it. And what I'm going to say to you is just go do it. Just go do it. All of you, I'm saying the same thing. Don't wait for perfection because it does not come without experimentation. If I want to role play this with somebody, then great, go through and role play it with them. But the bottom line is repetition is the mother of skill. And so even in the beginning, when I pick up the phone and make calls, you're going to suck. It's just bottom line. You're gonna sound scripted, and you'll assess yourself after every call, and pretty soon you feel pretty comfortable with how you're doing it. And this is just a process. So an hour a day, 4 days a week. That's what I'm working on. I'm trying to make 5 contacts. I'm trying to track the information like we talked about in the very beginning. So utilizing that, now I've got, okay, so I've got prospecting, I've got lead follow-up, and what I would say business follow-up and or /administrative, you have to have time for those throughout the week. Maybe they're, like for Mary, it was, all day Monday. I'm not sure if that's, for most of us, maybe it's going to be better if we have an hour every other day or a half hour every day for administration. It really is up to you. You know how you are with regards to paperwork. If you don't create a time for this to happen, it won't happen. It'll be one of those situations where you're always running behind and your broker's yelling at you to get paperwork in. And you're going, oh, man, this never ends. And so if I have a time slot where that's there and I can work on it at a specific time and I have and I know that that time is always there for me, then I'll do it. Now, the last thing I want you to do is I want you to create somewhere in the neighborhood of anywhere from 8 to 11, even 12 time slots. And these are two-hour time slots. The reason they're 2 hours is, let me go through the room real quick. Richard, how long does it take you to do a listing presentation?
About an hour.
Mary?
About an hour if I've been in the house.
Linda?
Less than that.
Okay. So the bottom line is if I create these two-hour time slots, I can use the two-hour time slots for listing appointment and travel back and forth, okay? And I can also use them for if I'm working with a buyer. So what you're looking to do is just based on the example that I used earlier, Monday was Tuesday and Thursday, I'm willing to work till 8, right? So
yeah.
For me, I would say I have a 4 o'clock and a 6 o'clock appointment time slot. Okay? On Monday and Wednesday, if I'm willing to work till 5 o'clock, maybe I have a 3 o'clock and a 1 o'clock and a 3 o'clock. On Saturday, I might have a 10 and a 12 o'clock. Okay? And on Friday, I may have one appointment time slot, maybe from 10 to 12, something along those lines. And what you see is that now you've got these appointment time slots, and the appointment time slots are designed for you to fill in appointments. In other words, if I've got 10 slots over the course of my week, and they're two-hour time slots, when somebody calls me up and says, hey, can you come over and list my house, rather than saying, oh, yeah, when would you like me to come over, I say, great, man, I've got an opening at 2 and one at 4. Which one works best for you? Called alternative of choice. It's a great close, but it also says you are in control. Okay, I've got a 2 o'clock and a 4 o'clock. Which one works best for you? I got a 4 and I got a 6. Which one works best for you? I got a Saturday, 10 and one at 12. Which one works best for you? Always give them two. Always give them two choices, because if I give them one and they don't like it, they're going to come back and say, but yeah, can you do this at this time? And I'll guarantee you it'll screw up your day. So you want to control when you're doing your appointments. Don't get into telling people when you can't do something. In other words, a lot of people will say, well, I don't work on Saturdays because that's my day off. Well, I could care less. Okay? Happy for you. Doesn't have anything to do with me. Don't tell me that. Okay? As far as I'm concerned, if you have Saturday off, I have no appointments available on Saturday. All booked up. Okay? We're treating it like a business. Sometimes we want to tell people what we think they want to know, and that's, well, what are you doing? Why can't you? Okay? It's not none of their business. So if I tell you when I can, then you've got something to work from. If you call up your dentist and say, hey, doc, I'm in the neighborhood. I'm going to stop by for a cleaning. I've got a few minutes right now, so I'll see you in a few seconds. That doesn't work. He says, okay, Well, first of all, he's not answering the phone. Somebody else is answering the phone for him. And they say, no, we've got an opening in December. And you can have it if you want it. Otherwise, it's January. You guys are in a business that is as professional as dentists, doctors, and attorneys. It doesn't take as much education to get there. You can make more money than any of those fields. But you've got to treat it like a real business. And so controlling your time, and I will guarantee you, what sounds better if I say, I got an opening at 2 and 4, or, golly gee, when would you like me to come over? Doesn't matter to me. I'm not doing anything anyway. Okay? It's kind of like, my wife and I go through this. I said, well, you want to go out to eat? And she say, sure. And I say, well, we'll head out. Where do you want to eat? Oh, I don't care. Oh, yeah, okay. I don't care either. Where are you going to end up? I don't know. until somebody says, look, I want pizza. Oh, man, I don't want pizza. You just said you didn't care. People always care. So when you give them when you make this simple for them, when you make this simple, you say, I got an opening at 2 and 4. Great. If that doesn't work, then I move them farther down the line. Okay? I got an opening at 2 and 4 on Thursday. Which one works best for you? Well, neither one of those work great. Okay, I've got an opening at Saturday. In other words, I didn't move them closer, I move them farther away. I'm taking control. They want to know that you have the ability to control your time, because if you control your time, you can control their outcome. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I love where you're going with this, Dan. It sounds great.
Okay, but you got to put it, what I want you guys to do is I want you to lay this out and understand that when it comes down to this, it is a challenge. If it doesn't work, if it doesn't work early in the day, the temptation is to throw it out completely. Don't throw it out completely. Assess what's wrong and make the small adjustments. Make lots of copies of this before you actually start, of the time blocking, before you actually fill them in, because whatever you put down originally is theoretical. When you start to follow it, I've done it, but I don't really follow it, or sometimes I do. Well, yeah, if you're lucky, if you actually hit a time doing something that you're supposed to be doing, but for the most part, you're not really following it. This thing will help you. It's the difference between somebody who works 40 hours, 50 hours a week, making $25,000 a year, and somebody who works 30 hours a week and makes $500,000 a year. What's different? It isn't just, it isn't just luck or brains. It has to do with, they have the same 24-hour clock as you. It's how they use it. The more high up payoff activity, the higher your hourly rate becomes. Okay? So I want to see this. I want to see the time blocking from all three of you before our next session. And I want you to write me with any questions, any challenges that you're facing with regards to implementation. We're coming back to this. I'll hit this from time to time. It's definitely one of the ongoing focuses of one-on-one or two-on-one coaching. Right now, this is your opportunity to get it started and coordinate it with the book Focal Point, because it doesn't necessarily follow, but it's a great tool to mm-hmm. use. Next week we're going to get into, or in 2 weeks we're going to get into. Part of what Mary was talking about a few minutes ago, you're a salesperson first, second, and third, and this will be really helpful for you, especially with some of the call reluctance that I know we all have. So I apologize. I'm up to cut out just about 6 minutes early, but I have a plane to catch, so I apologize for that. In the meantime, go make this an awesome week, and let me see your daily activity record and evaluation forms, too. Linda, you've been pretty good about that.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Richard?
Right. I've been doing them every day, so I've been real good.
Okay. Richard and Mary?
I sent mine in. I do mine every single day.
You do? Okay.
Yep.
I looked in the wrong place again. Okay. I saw one, but I didn't see the. Keep doing it. You're doing great.
Oh,
my apologies for not looking at it.
It's okay. I sent it last night or yesterday morning, so I knew it came in late.
Oh, okay.
So
okay,
I know you like Monster's Day, so that's the problem.
Yeah, I'm out of town, and that's part of my problem too. So I apologize. Continue to do that, Richard, my friend.
Yeah.
Not doing his work.
Is he gonna let these women get ahead of you here?
Ah.
No, I'm not gonna do that, Don. But I appreciate you putting me on the spot, and I already.
Got okay.
I gotta do your homework. If he doesn't have to do it, we don't.
Yeah, right. Well, you all have.
I've been sending the weekly, Don.
Okay.
That's not fair.
All right. That's not daily. All right?
Okay.
Have a wonderful week, guys.
Bye.
See you later. Bye.
Bye.
You too, Don. Thank you. Bye. Bye, everybody.